This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Thursday, July 2nd. I'm Audrey McCabe. Sadly, two adults died and a baby was injured in a crash on US 550 Monday evening. The Montrose Daily Press reports that the victims were traveling towards Montrose and were approaching the intersection with Solar Road when the driver attempted to pass multiple vehicles in their Toyota Corolla. Colorado State Patrol Sergeant Jeremy Tice said on Wednesday that the driver attempted to merge back into the correct lane but lost control, likely due to excessive speed. The car slammed into a Dodge Ram driven by a 55-year-old Montrose man who was traveling down a private driveway. The Toyota rolled and the Ram went into a small ditch. Witnesses pushed the Toyota upright to aid the passengers but were unable to save the two adults. The one-year-old girl was taken to the hospital with serious injuries and then transported to the Children's Hospital in Colorado Springs. The crash remains under investigation with autopsies and toxicology reports pending. The Uncompahgre Water Users Association has put out a somewhat dire statement regarding this year's drought. They say, quote, management and staff are closely monitoring the water coming into and releasing from Taylor, Blue Mesa, and Ridgeway reservoirs. Due to the severity of the drought, along with the windy, hot weather, and severe fires burning in our communities, we are working on a plan to get our agricultural producers enough water to harvest their summer crops. At this point, we have no expectation to be able to provide water for the winter crops. We may see a strong monsoon season, and at that time, we will be able to make the decision if we can stretch our water to the end of October. Please be mindful of your water usage during this time, end quote. And unsurprisingly, we have more wildfire news for you. The town of Ouray decided that in addition to its 4th of July fireworks show, it is canceling this year's annual water fights. The event typically involves teams facing each other on Main Street in Ouray, armed with fire hoses spewing water at full force. According to the Telluride Times, the tradition grew in the old mining days of Ouray in the late 1800s and is usually a highlight of the Ouray 4th of July celebration. The 4th of July weekend celebrations are important for the Ouray economy, and some residents expressed frustration with the decision online. However, the city emphasizes that public safety remains a top priority. Residents and visitors are encouraged to remain aware of the current Gold Mountain fire activity, respect all Stage 2 fire restrictions, and follow any emergency instructions should conditions change. As of 5 p.m. yesterday, the Ouray Volunteer Fire Department benefit concert at Felon Park is still scheduled for Friday, and the town parade is still slated to take place Saturday. On Tuesday evening, local officials involved in the response to the fire hosted a community meeting to inform residents of the latest information about the fire and response. Tyler Nathy, the operations section chief with Rocky Mountain Area Complex Incident Management, said that the team isn't just fighting the fire day by day, but engaging in a complex planning process.
Our job as a team is to be looking really far out, you know, 6, 7, 8, 12 days, and trying to forecast what this is going to do so that we're not surprised by the activity that we see.
Dana Garduño, a district ranger at the U.S. Forest Service, told the crowd,
I'm gearing up for this being a marathon and not a sprint.
Nathy went into detail about various strategies that are being used in different areas with private residences. But he also acknowledged that the fire is largely burning in areas that are remote and uninhabited. In those areas, he said, the priority has to be human lives.
You know, what's out there, there's nothing really other than beautiful country, which, don't get me wrong, is certainly a value. But there's no life risk and there's no property risk out there. So we're kind of steering away from really engaging any folks out in that difficult, tough country. And we're focusing our efforts towards those values that we've identified with the agency administrators here.
Cheeseboro addressed a question he says he's been asked.
One of the questions we get sometimes, how come there's not more aircraft flying? I'll just say the wind that we've had the last couple days has limited severely Our ability to safely, again, back to that firefighter safety, that includes our aviators. We haven't had the ability to fly a lot of aircraft purely due to that aviator safety. This is pretty complex terrain.
And here's Cheeseboro again on the status of resources.
Other challenges that we've had, somebody mentioned the limited resources. And so you guys, I'm sure, are aware, as am I, how many fires I have gone on here in the last couple of days, some of the tragedy that we've experienced in the wildland fire community near to here. It got busy very quickly. And so the resources that were around, there was a lot of resources in the area, a lot of resources specifically in Western Colorado. They got sucked up pretty quickly with all that fire activity. Now we've got fires over on the Front Range and things going on, and that's just in the Rocky Mountain area. Activities picked up nationally. And so there are some challenges with getting those resources. You know, nationally, they've got to balance all these different fires with the resources that are out there.
Ouray County Sheriff Justin Perry also addressed concerns about some phones not receiving alerts.
I'm hoping that you all have been getting some of the notifications. I can tell you, I haven't. So this is one of the issues that we had with the Sims fire here a few years ago was the communications. And not only do we have an overloaded system trying to get messages out, but we also had a cell tower that was damaged and destroyed in this fire. So if most of you were on Verizon and you're not getting those, there's a reason why you weren't getting the messages if it was via cell phone, and that is because of that tower. We are working on that. I think some of that has actually been restored. We had a cell tower that came through that they were trying to get that put up outside of the city of Ouray. And I know there's actually a city of Ouray booster also within town. It should be helping a little bit.
Scott Stearns from the National Weather Service provided a forecast for the weekend and what it'll mean for the fire.
So what's going on out here? There's a few different things, but we do have some potential for increasing moisture. You can see that in terms of the minimum relative humidity values. So as we see with the relative humidity boxes here, we have a lot of red the next few days, but we're starting to get into yellow, it looks like, as we get into next week. So that's indicative of increasing moisture that's going to be moving through the area. Now, it's not significant enough that it's going to provide wetting rains, it doesn't appear at this point, but it is enough that it is going to decrease fire behavior, at least in theory. Again, that's a week out when we get there. But essentially, we do have increased winds, and for that, we have a fire weather watch right now, which is in effect for Thursday. It looks like conditions will be pretty similar, honestly, on Friday. So both of those days, we're looking at sustained winds right around 15 to maybe 18 miles an hour, and those gusts will be close to 30. So remember, today saw gusts to around 30, 35 miles an hour, and that was the result. We're looking at the same kind of conditions on Thursday, Friday. The only difference is we're going to be just a little bit warmer, just a little bit drier. So even if the winds aren't quite as strong, it's still a couple concerning days coming up in the future. So
the Gold Mountain Fire had reached over 16,000 acres by 5 p.m. yesterday. KVNF will continue to keep you updated. Colorado's Health Department issued an air quality advisory for much of the state due to wildfire smoke that has blanketed parts of the state over last week. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, Aspen Public Radio's Michael Finelli has more on how residents should respond.
If you want to track the air quality, or AQI, in your area, officials recommend sites like airnow.gov. But Carlin Porter with Pitkin County's Public Health Department says that your own senses provide the best information.
If mountains are not visible in the distance, that means there's particulate matter in the air, so may not be the best day to go for that marathon run.
Porter says we're lucky to have very good air quality most of the year, and a few days of breathing smoky air likely won't have long-term impacts. But over an extended period of time, those small particles can get into the bloodstream and cause respiratory and circulatory problems. Porter says to treat the smoke like bad weather and try to plan your outdoor activities at times when it's clear. She also recommends setting up a HEPA filter that's the right size for your living space and to avoid smoking, burning candles, or any other activities that add air pollutants. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Michael Finelli.
That's your KVNF Regional Newscast. If you're not able to catch the newscast live on air, it's available on kvnf.org, the KVNF app, on Spotify, and now on Apple Podcasts. I'm Audrey McCabe.